Heavenly Father, we love you today. We thank you for your word that we can study, that we can read, that we can meditate on, that we can hold in our hands. We know that we can hold in our hands the word of God. And we thank you for that today. And as we open it now and study it, I pray that you would be honored and glorified, and that we would just magnify the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. For it's for him that we're here today, and that we can have peace with God, and we can have the peace of God. And Lord, I thank you, Lord, so much for our salvation today. And allow the Holy Spirit this morning, dear Lord, to move among us, speak to our hearts. And he knows exactly what we need to hear this morning. Use me, I pray, in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. We've been studying this quarter, Exodus, the book of Exodus. We began a study of the book of Exodus just over a month ago. And we said it's going to take us a while, but that's all right. But we're going to learn and study the Word of God through the book of Exodus. And we've titled this study through this quarter, A Revelation of Redemption. For the whole book of Exodus is about redemption. And it reveals God's redemption throughout this book. So as we continue this study today, we're going to begin in chapter 2 of the book of Exodus. And we'll begin in verse number 5. Exodus 2 and verse 5. We have seen already last week where we're looking at a lesson of faith. We saw the actions of Jochebed and Amram, Moses' mom and dad. We saw their actions of faith. And then we saw how Miriam, his sister, learned a lesson of faith last week. And then also we saw where Pharaoh and Satan were trying to have obstacles and challenges to their faith so that people would not exercise faith. And then today we said we would continue today this one series talking about the rewards of faith. The rewards of faith. So let's begin in verse number 6. And when she had opened, this is Pharaoh's daughter, when she had opened it, she saw the child, that was Moses, and behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him and said, this is one of the Hebrews' children. Now we know by reading verse 22 of Exodus 1 that Moses had been should have been condemned to death. He was under a death sentence. He was a newborn babe under the decree of Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said, I make a law that all new male Hebrew children should be put to death. And how they were supposed to be done that, do that, after the midwives feared God more than they feared man, was they were to, all the subjects of Pharaoh were to throw these male Hebrew children, baby, into the Nile River, which was death. It was certain death, and we looked at those last week. So when Pharaoh's daughter, which is a subject of Pharaoh, opens this basket and she sees it's a Hebrew child, which is a male child, she should have obeyed Pharaoh and thrown the child into the river for his death. But she had compassion on him, and that's God. That's God's mercy, God's grace here being shown to us. So when she opens this basket and she sees this Hebrew child, she has compassion on it. Then we begin in verse 7. Then said his sister, this is Miriam, remember a lesson of faith for Miriam. She stood afar off. She didn't have the same faith that her mom had. She was a young child learning how to trust God and how her mom just sets the basket in the river and says, I'm going to trust God, and she goes back home. Well, Miriam stays by the river to watch what's going to happen. And so when his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women that she may nurse the child for thee? She has no right to go talk to Pharaoh's daughter. This is a princess of the land. But she has witnessed how her mother's faith has been beginning to be rewarded because Pharaoh's daughter did not throw Moses into the water to drown him. So her faith is growing and she's excited and she runs up to Pharaoh's daughter and says, can I go call a nurse for you? And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, go. And the maid went and called the child's mother. That's a reward of faith. Jochebed is at home. She has completely placed the hand and the life of her child, her third child, into the hands of God. Whatever you want, Lord, I'm going to give him to you. And parents, that's what we're supposed to do when we dedicate our children to the Lord. We do that here on Easter once a year. And when we dedicate our children to the Lord, we're basically saying, here is our child. We're going to give him to you. We know he is a heritage of the Lord. We know you have given him to us to raise and to help him to grow in faith and to mature in church and to understand the Word of God and to hear the Word of God and to lead them into the path of salvation. But we have given them to the Lord. If he calls that child to the mission field, if he calls that child to some obscure place that we really don't want that child to go, we have given our child back to God. And that's what Jochebed has done here. She has given her child to God. If it's to die, I surrender that to you, Lord. If it's to do something else for you, I surrender that to you. That's what Jochebed has done here when she places her son in the Nile River in the basket of the ark of bulrushes. And now God is rewarding that faith. And he says, Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, take this child. She's saying it to her mother, to his mother. Take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages. She not only gets to get her child back into her home, she's going to get paid to take care of her child. She's going to get paid to feed her child. She's going to get paid to bring him up in the heritage of the Israel nation as it's forming here in Egypt. She gets paid by Pharaoh's daughter from the very daughter of the man that has made the decree to kill all male Hebrew babies. She has paid him now from, unlikely, most likely from money from the Pharaoh and his wealth. That's God. That is God. God has said, I'm rewarding your faith, mother. I'm going to give you your child back, and I'm going to pay you to take care of him from the very people that wanted to put him to death. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages. And the woman took the child and nursed it. You know, Hebrews 11:6, we know Hebrews chapter 11 is really the hall of fame of faith. It's all about faith. And Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Jochebed was diligently seeking God. I'm sure that as they hid him in the home for 3 months, 12 weeks, they couldn't hide him any longer without it being found out. And when she starts making that basket of bulrushes and she lays him in the flags by the river's brink, she's trusting God. She's saying, I'm trusting you, Lord. Not looking for a reward, not even knowing she'll ever see her son again, but she's trusting God. It is just that faith of Jochebed and Amram, we sort of leave him out, but that faith of Moses' parents is the same faith that Abraham had when he took his son Isaac up to Mount Moriah to sacrifice him. This is the exact same faith. Abraham says to the men down at the bottom of the hill, we shall go make sacrifice and we will come again. He knew if God's going to have me kill my son, he's going to raise him back up because he's the promised seed. He didn't know how it was going to happen, but he had faith in God to walk with God and to trust God. And here he is, the same faith that Abraham had is the same faith that Jochebed had. It's the same faith that we have today. It is no different. If God speaks to our heart and tells us something to do for Him, we must trust Him. We must step out by faith. If you would read the Bible from cover to cover looking for themes of the Bible, of course, the major theme is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. But another major theme through the Word of God is to live by faith, your Christian life. It's throughout the book. And we have this same faith. You say, well, I can't just trust my child to God. Well, we need to. I can't say that I would be willing to sacrifice my son and I'm glad the Lord will not require us to do that, for Christ has already been sacrificed. He is our sacrifice. And that was just a picture of Christ coming and His sacrifice. But we must live by faith. We must. You know, there is a reward of faith, and there's many rewards of faith. Let's just look at a few. Let's begin in Ephesians. I'd like you to put your eyes on these verses if you can. Ephesians chapter 2. A very familiar verse. Most of us could probably quote it, but it's a reward of faith. Ephesians 2 and verse 8 says, "For by grace are ye saved through what?" Faith. A reward of our faith is our salvation. A reward of exercising our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. None of us were around when Christ was crucified on the cross. None of us saw Christ hanging on the cross and shedding His blood for us. None of us saw that, but by faith, we are exercising our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. That is reward of faith, is our salvation. So I don't see that. "For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Well, let me show you something else about the reward of faith and salvation. Look at 1 Peter chapter number 1. 1 Peter chapter number 1, verse number 3. Oh, this is a great portion of Scripture. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. There we go. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you." It's a personal reservation for you. "Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perished, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ." Notice verse 8, "Whom having not seen, ye love. In whom, though now ye see Him not, yet believing." What is that? That's faith. That's faith. "Yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory." Notice verse 9, "Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls." That's faith. A reward of faith is your salvation. A second reward of faith is found in Matthew chapter 9. You say, "Well, Jochebed wasn't thinking of all this." No, she was just trusting God. But I want to share with you, when we exercise our faith, there are rewards of our faith. In Matthew chapter 9 and verse number 20, we have another reward of faith. Matthew 9 and verse 20, "And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years, came behind Him." She had tried everything. She had gone to every doctor, every specialist. She had spent her money. We can look at other portions of Scripture. She had spent all she had to try to get rid of this disease. She had had it for 12 years, and she came behind Him. She came behind Jesus and touched the hem of His garment. Just the hem. "For she said within herself, if I may but touch His garment, I shall be whole." She is going to exercise faith. Notice what Christ says. "But Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole." Another reward of faith is healing. Healing. And we don't believe in the show of healing today. If that was true, then why don't those healers just go to the hospital and just heal everybody? You know? But we do believe that Jesus Christ is the great physician. And we do believe that He can still heal. And that's why we pray and ask Him to heal our loved ones and our friends and our family, to place His hands upon them and to heal them through faith.
That's healing. That's a reward of faith. Notice now in Romans chapter 5, Romans chapter 5, another healing, another reward of faith is in Romans 5 verse 1 and 2. Therefore, being justified by faith, well, we could stop there. You're seen by God as just as you were never a sinner. That's justified. You've been justified if you've placed your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone for your personal salvation. Jesus Christ took upon Himself the sins of the whole world, and God now looks at us as justified, just as we were never a sinner. Wow. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. If you've placed your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you have been justified, and now you have peace with God. A great study would be to compare peace with God and the peace of God. They're different, and both are exciting, and rejoice in them, how we can have the peace of God and peace with God. But we, if you've placed your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you have peace with God. You are not condemned to a lake of fire anymore. You have been justified through the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't forget that portion. It's not by anything we have done. We just exercised our faith in Him and His work. So peace with God is another reward of faith. Then look over in 1 John. You see why I couldn't rush this last week. There's too much in the Word of God about the reward of faith. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4. 1 John 5, 4, the Word of God says, "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." We can have victory in this world today. We can have victory over this world today because of our faith. Isn't that exciting? You look around, you turn on the news, you open a newspaper, you look at the internet news, whatever, however you get your means of what's going on in the world today, it's depressing. It's discouraging. But we must remember, we have victory in this world. Even today, we have victory through Christ. Amen. Because of our faith. Now, I'm not hoping that terrorists would run through these doors today, but if they do, we still have victory. Because to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Amen. We have victory here today. We can have victory over temptations today. We can have victory over the trials of this world today by faith in God. What does it say in verse number 4? For whatsoever is born of God. Are you born of God? I'm born of God. I'm a child of the King. Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. It doesn't say may overcome the world, might overcome the world. It says overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. That sort of narrows it down, doesn't it? That gets it really specific. He that believes in Jesus Christ can have victory over the world. Not he that believes in Buddha, or he that believes in Joseph Smith, or he that believes in Hare Krishna, or you can put any name there of any religion leader today. If it's not Jesus Christ, you can't have victory over the world. But we as Christians today that place our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ can have victory over the things of the world. Amen. Let's go to Matthew chapter 8. Each one of these we could study in detail. Each one teaches us truths that might strengthen our Christian lives. But as we're really studying the book of Exodus, we're just zipping through these quickly. In Matthew 8 and verse 23, Jesus is trying to teach His disciples a lesson here. In Matthew 8 and verse 23, He's trying to teach them who He is and to trust Him. Matthew 8:23, "And when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him, and behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep." Jesus wasn't worried. He's the creator of those waves. He's the creator of the trees that built this boat. He is the creator of nature. He's not afraid. He's down in the boat asleep. He's at peace. "And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he said unto them, Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was great calm. But the men marveled, saying, What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him?" Jesus is trying to instruct his disciples. You've been with me. You know who I am. You've seen the power that God has given me. You've seen the miracles performed. You've heard the teaching. He is trying to instruct them, but he's also sort of rebuking them here for their lack of faith because they feared. Now, of course, that's human nature. We're going to fear in situations. But if we take our eyes off the circumstances and get our eyes on the Lord, we can have the peace of God. Jesus rebuked these disciples. He's trying to instruct them, look who I am. Look who I am. I am the Creator. I am the Son of God. And you are with me. Do you think we're going to sink? Do you think we're going to drown? They were in the presence of God. Yet they feared. And he's trying to instruct them a reward of faith is a decrease in the fear of the things of this world. Oh, how we could spend time there. David has a great experience in Psalm 31. It shows us how he placed his faith in God and not feared what man could do unto him. Look in Psalm 31, just the first six verses. "In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in thy righteousness. Bow down thine ear to me. Deliver me speedily. But thou, be thou my strong rock for an house of defense to save me. For thou art my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. Pull me out of the net that they have laid privily for me. For thou art my strength. Into thine hand I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. I have hated them that regard lying vanities, but I trust in the Lord." No matter what's going on in David's life, he says, I'm afraid, but I'm going to trust in you. And that's what we need to do. We need to place our lives in the hands of the Lord. We need to place our fears in the hands of the Lord. Acts chapter 12, we could look at there. Well, you got time. Let's look at it. Acts chapter 12, one other instance of this reduction of fear of things that can come on in this world. Acts chapter 12, they love this. Herod has rose up as king and he's trying to stamp out Christianity. He's persecuting the Christians. And verse 1, Acts chapter 12, "Now about the time Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church, he killed James the brother of John with the sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people." James has been killed. And the church is being scattered. The disciples are being arrested. And now they have Peter, the leader of the group. They have Peter. And they're like, we've got him now. Hold him in the deepest dungeons that we can find and put four quaternions of soldiers around him. There's no escape. And we're going to hang him, or we're going to execute him. We're going to kill him before all, so they know who has really got the power here. Now, any of us in that situation, we'd be trembling, we'd be fearful, we'd be scared, we'd be afraid of the circumstances coming. What does Peter do? "Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night, Peter was sleeping. Was Peter afraid what the hand of man could do unto him? No, he had a good night's rest. I'm just going to lay down with these four quaternions of soldiers, and I'm going to go to sleep. How can he do that? He has learned who Jesus Christ is, and he has realized what Jesus Christ is capable of, and he knows that to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord, so it's a win-win. So I'm not going to worry about things that are out of my control. I'm just going to trust the Lord. And that's what Peter says. I'm not going to worry about it. I can't get out of this prison. I can't escape these four quaternions of soldiers. I can't change Herod's mind. I'm sure he prayed. The church is praying for him. And he says, I'm going to take my hands off of it. Just like Jochebed. She has taken her hands off of her son. She says, it's yours, Lord. Peter's like, my life is yours, Lord. And I'm going to go to sleep for whatever comes next. That's a reward of faith, is a reduction of fear. And then, of course, quickly in Philippians chapter 3, we see the last one I'll mention today. There are other rewards of faith. Philippians 3 and verse 20. For our conversation is in heaven. That's our citizenship, our life, our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, Hebrews teaches us, this isn't our home, Christian. This isn't our home. This isn't our final destination. When we die and are put in the ground, that's not it. There's a more glorious life coming to last all of eternity. Our citizenship is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change your vile body that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able even to subdue all things unto Him. A reward, another reward of faith, and exercising that faith and knowing where our citizenship is and knowing where our home country is, and knowing that we have a life beyond this body, a glorious body will be given, is a home in heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at Matthew. We'll stop here. Look at Matthew 25. Getting exercise in where books of the Bible are today. Matthew chapter 25. Look in verse 21. Matthew 25, 21 says, this is a parable the Lord's given, and He's instructing here, and it's a great lesson. We could look at the whole thing, but we'll just pull one verse out. His Lord said unto him in verse 21, His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. What kind of servant was it? A faithful servant. A good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee rule over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. I want to be a faithful servant. Do you want to be a faithful servant to our Lord? Then when He speaks to our heart to do something for Him, then let's just do it. Let's put aside the cares of the world. Let's get our eyes off the temporal things. Get our eyes on the eternal things and know that our Lord rewards faithfulness. Another reward of faithfulness is to inherit the joy of the Lord. Oh, how we could go to so many places. Jochebed has placed her son in a place of death in the Nile River. And as we've seen, there are many dangers in the Nile River. Not only the crocodiles, not only the hippopotamus, not only the snakes and the diseases, not only the tides, and they could flood that basket and drown him. It was not the magical hands of Jochebed weaving that basket of bulrushes that protected her son. It was not the waterproofing she did with slime and pitch and waterproof that basket. It was the hand of God that protected Moses' life. because Jochebed exercised faith. If Jochebed had just said, no, I'm going to continue to hide my son, would we have ever heard of Moses? I don't know. But because she gave her son completely to God, no matter what God was going to do, she didn't stand there wringing her hands, wondering what would happen to her son. She went home. And as she went home, here comes Miriam running in the door. Mama, Mama, guess what? The Pharaoh's daughter came and picked up my brother and your son, and she said for me to go get someone to take care of him. Come on, Mama, let's go. And then Mama comes in front of Pharaoh's daughter, and she says, take care of this child, and I'll pay thee thy wages. That's God. That is God. And how God rewarded her faith with time with her son, where she might upbring him, raise him up. The time period we don't know exactly, but it was enough time to instill in him the heritage of his people. The Lord God that they served, Jehovah God that they served. They were able to have those little family devotions and include Moses and allow him to grow up in that home however long he was there, to nurture him and teach him the things of God. For we'll see next week, he identifies himself with his people, not with the Egyptians. He knows who his people are. It says, and the child grew in Exodus 2 and verse 10. And the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter. That had to have been a hard day. Lord, thank you for the time I've had with my child. And now I'm going to give him right back to you again. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know if I'll ever be able to welcome into my home again. But I'm going to give him back to you again. Because I know you're a rewarder of those that faithfully seek you. So she brings him to Pharaoh's daughter. And he became her son. She sort of adopts him into the family. Of the family and of the household that wanted to put him to death. And they raise him. And she called his name Moses. I think it's unique that Pharaoh's daughter names Moses. And that's the name we know Moses by. She called his name Moses, and she said, because I drew him out of the water. The same faith that we can exercise today to live a life that pleases our Lord is the same faith that Jochebed exercised and was rewarded for. Her son should have been put to death. She should have been put to death for hiding one that was to be put to death. But God preserved his life, and he rewarded her faith. Her name is recorded in the Scriptures. Many mothers, many women in the Scriptures, we don't know their names. We know Moses' mom's name. It says in Hebrews 11, his parents, we'll close with that. Look with me, Hebrews 11. And let's see. It's in the 20s. Look with me in Hebrews chapter number 11 and verse number 23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months. Does it say Amram? Does it say his dad? Does it say his father? No, it says his parents. She's giving credit as well. Because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. His parents. And then over, we could look in Exodus 15, we could look in Numbers. We know the name Jochebed and Amram. Because she diligently sought to please the Lord by living a life of faith. Let us also live a life that pleases the Lord by living a life of faith here on this earth. Heavenly Father, we love you today. We thank you so much for loving us. Thank you for allowing us to live a life that pleases you through faith. Help us now. Life is a struggle. We carry this fresh flesh around with us every day, and it's a struggle to live by faith. But Lord, I pray that you would help us to live a life that pleases you by living a life of faith here on this earth. Bless in the next hour. Bless our pastor. Be with him. Strengthen his body. Give him exactly what he needs to bring forth the word of God to us in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.